before we head into this episode, just a heads up that this episode was pre-recorded from late 2025. Some of the films mentioned won't be the most recent releases, but if you want to stay up to date with the industry, then check out our socials at alwaysonfilm.pod and stay tuned for more up-to-date season 2. Enjoy!
Hello, and welcome to Always on Film, brought to you by Transmission Roundhouse.
Thanks so much for coming back. In today's episode, we'll be discussing some of our film hot takes and early crushes, and we will also be discussing what we've seen recently, what we're excited for that's coming up, and anything in the TV world as well that we've recently enjoyed. Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are we?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Long time no see.
I was gonna say, it's not like we spent the entire day together.
I know. It's like, oh my god, how are you?
How are you guys?
No, okay, so I thought what we could do, since we have some guests coming on this season, at the beginning of everything, we always ask them some questions. So I thought we should answer those.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We can be in the hot seat.
Share our little opinion. So the first one is, what is your favourite movie snack? Like, what's a non-negotiable, what you're always bringing?
Maltesers.
See, that's a good one.
That's very fair.
I'm not really a popcorn person, I'll be honest.
Popcorn, sweet or salty?
Only
both.
Only mixed. Salted.
For me, I'm mixed.
Mixed.
Yeah.
Salt. No, wrong end.
Yeah. What, you're both salted?
Yeah.
Yeah, if...
Or, like, I do like a good kettle corn, but, like...
I could lose this. The sweet is my least favourite.
Like, I don't know if that's a thing here, but that was the best thing in the States at Trader Joe's. They have kettle corn, like...
Butter?
You can buy kettle corn.
Oh, it's like an actual thing.
Butter? Yeah. Why did you just say butter?
I don't know. I thought it meant, like, a flavour.
I don't know. It's just, like, extra sugary.
Oh.
It might just be sweet popcorn and I'm dumb, but...
I mean, I don't know. I only have salted popcorn.
Yeah, that would be my favourite over... Salted or sweet, but usually I mix it.
Yeah, makes sense.
If I have it, which is very rare, to be fair.
I think I just had, as a kid, too much of that toffee popcorn.
Oh, the Butterkiss one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
So now...
I do not know what you mean.
I can't.
It's like popcorn covered in toffee.
It's okay. Lethal, though. Your teeth will be like... It will be on your teeth for a week.
It's like classic kid's birthday party snack.
Yeah.
And I just can't... So I now can't do any kind of sweet popcorn.
Yeah, no. I know what you mean. I had feelings young as well. So I was just... Oh, my mum would be like, no! Get that out.
Yeah. No, that's my only movie snack is...
Popcorn.
Salted popcorn.
But you'd get popcorn every time.
No, usually. Or do you know what I've recently quite like?
Yeah.
And this is just because maybe I'm going to more bougie cinemas. But like they do the little tubs of ice cream and they do vegan ones.
Okay.
And I get a vegan mint choc chip.
That's cute.
If I'm in a sweet mood.
You just made me think about those pick a mix. No, I've actually got a story about this because one time I've got two siblings and one time my mum took us to go and see a film at like a big Odeon or a View or something like that. And we didn't know, I think it used to be done on like cup size, you just pay for the cup and fill up to the top, but they changed it to be on weight.
Oh,
and my mum didn't clog it. And we went and filled up three cups for three siblings and we put them there.
100
and she
pounds.
Weighed them and it was like our whole mortgage.
Oh,
and my mum was like, no. And they
not.
Had to pour them all separately back into,
oh
we
God.
Just watched them.
I'm surprised they let you do that.
We just couldn't, no, we just couldn't.
Fair enough on your mum though.
Crazy,
I should.
As an adult now, I would not, no.
As a kid, it was probably like the end of the world.
I was like, mummy, no! Yeah, no.
So I like I like licorice, which I know is unpopular.
Black licorice?
Yeah.
For the cinema?
Anytime.
Oh, okay.
Just anytime. So I do sometimes mostly bring licorice. Or I do like some gummy bears.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I used to always sneak like actual food.
I was going to say, because.
Really?
Like, I've rocked up with a meal deal, yeah.
I think.
Oh,
I've done that as well.
Yeah.
Listen, when you go at like 7 p.m.
Yeah, or like after work and then you're like.
I have
hungry.
To have dinner.
Yeah.
But I mean, popcorn is the go to snack.
Yeah.
Actually, probably semi controversial opinion. I don't love, like in the States, you know how they put butter on the popcorn extra?
No.
Don't love that.
Well, like a knob of butter just...
No.
It's
okay.
Like a butter fountain. They have like a butter fountain.
It's like a liquid butter form.
Ooh.
Because I've had this, I went to an ice hockey game in New York, very random side quest life moment.
Yeah.
But I tried the popcorn and this was pre me being like, no dairy. and it tasted like not sweet.
Yeah,
it's like a weird, like salted butter popcorn thing, and I don't know if I liked it.
No,
it's just very odd.
Okay, next question: do we have a favorite cinema?
Yes.
I mean,
I know you.
Mine is my whole personality. Yes. The Prince Charles.
Yeah.
It's my favorite place.
I've still never been.
It's lovely.
No.
How have you never been? What?
Have I gone with. Wait, which is the one? Oh, that was Picture House.
I love that one as well.
That's what I was thinking
the
of.
Central.
Yeah, I've never been to Prince.
We should go.
No, I've never. Yeah, we should.
We'll find something.
I don't even know if I have. Well, I like the. Electric, is that what it's called?
In the Notting Hill.
One.
So pretty.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah, I love that one. And then, well, if we're going international again, LA, they have the New Beverly Cinema, which is one of the oldest cinemas.
Cool.
I don't know if it's one of the oldest cinemas, but it definitely is one of the only places that only do film. So they don't have any digital movies playing.
That's cool. Yeah. I think you showed me a picture of this.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Like, I went to I think it was a double feature that I did. Or I went to see Kill Bill with a friend of mine. I love
it. Yeah.
Very cool.
Quite nice.
I love The Curzon. Sorry.
Yeah.
And
on
Sunday they do dog days every Sunday morning and everyone just brings their dog and it's like unreal.
Yeah.
It's great scenes. It's so wholesome. And also, I just didn't think it would be popular like that, but it was just like, I was sat next to like a Shih Tzu and a Labrador, had a sausage dog on my lap. Like, it was loving life.
Do you know what I did, which was really wholesome, and it was free? It was Every Man on the Canal.
Oh,
yeah.
I've never done that.
I've never done it, but I really want to.
Me and a friend of ours,
yeah.
We went and watched Coco and then Pocahontas.
I know that gets you good.
I know, I was crying. But it was also just us who were like clearly adults and then a lot of children.
Aww.
But it was so nice. It was
really
very
cute.
Wholesome. So if anyone, it is free. So if you want to go, I'd recommend it if you've got an afternoon.
You know, one thing that I also want to try out, the cinema at the Barbican.
Yeah, I need to.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's in their basement.
Yeah, it's in the. They've got a whole. It's massive. They've got a whole, like, auditorium.
I was going to say, because I've been in the Barbican, but, like, I've never actually been to, like, the theatre.
No, me neither.
Really want to go there. It's really cute. Right, okay. Next question is hot takes. So, what movie do we think is underrated, / what do we think is overrated?
Underrated.
Yeah.
So mine, I feel like, actually isn't underrated, but in terms of like critical acclaim, like if you look at its Rotten Tomatoes score, it only has 47%, which I was quite surprised. And mine is Jennifer's Body.
I love that film.
And I saw this for the first time this year.
Yeah.
The Prince Charles lol.
Shout out, Prince Charles.
Shout out. And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I walked away and I was like, wait, why is this maybe
actually
one
amazing.
Of my favourite films? And like, it has, the script is genius. It's so ahead of its time.
Yeah.
The acting is phenomenal. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote down a quote for this, which was, "Do you buy all your murder weapons at Home Depot?" Incredible.
Yes.
Like,
that's great.
Just hilarious. And it's also only got a 3 on Letterboxd, like, which
really
is middling for Letterboxd, but
well,
I'd argue it should
it
be.
I thought it would have had like 70-something% on.
That's I know.
What I would have thought.
Yeah, I don't know actually if the Rotten Tomatoes was either critics or audience. Maybe audience is higher. I didn't check that.
Yeah.
But I just was surprised. And I know at the time it wasn't really received well because.
Was it not?
I think it's aged well.
When did it. Was it 2000s?
I think so.
Yeah, I think. I remember watching an interview with Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
Apologies if that's pronounced wrong. But I never know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But she was saying the marketing for it was marketing it as some sort of hot, sexy chick flick.
What, really sexualized?
Yeah. Which
makes sense if you're... Yeah.
Which makes sense if you... Like, it actually doesn't make sense.
No, but, like, I guess, like, looking at how early 2000s marketing was structured and how movies back then were structured, it makes sense that it was like, promoted and marketed that way. But I do think, like, if it would have been produced now,
it'd be different.
It would have been different.
Yeah.
Or, like, I think that's also why it's receiving so much love nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's because people see it for more than just that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so genius. It's literally,
so fun.
I'd recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, that's my underrated.
Underrated, what's, I don't know, The Graduate.
That really... Oh, I still need to watch this. Yeah.
What, who's in that one?
Oh, who's in that one?
Is it Dustin Hoffman?
Is that recent?
No, it's definitely not recent.
The Graduate.
It's from 1967.
Oh, wow.
It's Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, I was going to say, exactly. I think it's Dustin Hoffman.
It's probably one of his earliest roles. It has, it does have 87% on Rotten Tomatoes and 4.1.
So is it underrated, Luelle?
My one,
But it's one of those movies where I think underrated in the sense that it's under people's radar.
Right.
Like in this generation of film.
I mean, I've never heard of it.
It's not one of the classics people go back to.
Mm.
But I do think it's such a classic rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love that movie.
Fair enough.
Should be studied. Put it in the curriculum.
Put it in there. I think you'd love it.
I'm interested already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also the themes discussed in it, because it's all about age gap and stuff like that. It's remade so often in modern days. The concept of
film
is used in so many, yes, of course, there's no The Graduate 2.0,
mm.
but the idea of the movie is remade mm-hmm. loads.
Mm.
Is that the film that famously has the Mrs. Robinson song in it?
Maybe.
I was going to say...
it's not.
I'm not singing it.
No. Go on. 5, 6, 7, 8...
Did you see the hesitation there?
Yeah.
I
was like, no way is she going to commit right now.
I was like, no. But this is such a random, complete waffle. But I remember it was the anniversary of Eminem winning an Oscar for 8 Mile. And at the time when he was nominated and then won, he refused to perform at the Oscars. Mm. So it's like, I don't know, I'm pulling this out of nowhere, the 10-year anniversary, let's say, of 8 Mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did a random surprise performance of him doing his song.
Yeah.
And before that, they did a compilation of iconic music and film. And I think The Graduate was in that with Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah. Cool.
It's a good song.
Very.
It's in one of my playlists.
Tangent just there, sorry.
I need to know this song. Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah.
It's quite, when you hear it, you'll know.
All right. Well known. We'll show you.
I've got to make a list of.
So, what's yours?
Oh, yeah. I actually think I've misunderstood. Well, I haven't misunderstood. Okay, wait. It's underrated. It's underrated for me in that I did not think I would like this. Like, I went into it and I was this is not my cup of tea and I'm not going to like it. It was also the third, I believe, of a set of the same. It was 28 years later.
Oh.
Because obviously the original was Cillian Murphy, right?
Yeah.
But then there was a second one.
Yeah, Weeks.
Yeah. So, and I hadn't seen either of those. All I knew it was zombies.
Oh, okay. Did you go in blind?
Yeah, fully blind.
Wow.
Fully blind.
Yeah. That is rogue.
Yeah, and, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. And I actually think I need to give more, well, I don't love horror, but I do love psychological kind of horror.
Thriller.
And Midsommar, that kind of, and it kind of fell for me into that genre because it was also post-apocalyptic, it was kind of dystopian. The acting performances were absolutely insane. Yeah. Jodie Comer, wow. And I just had no idea where it was going, but also the shots, at some point it turned into the camera lens was some kind of GTA, I don't even know what happened.
Not GTA.
I don't know. The camera shots just jumped into video game style. Mm. And when you see, there's a scene where he shoots a deer or something, and then you just see it from the perspective of I don't know. It was so mismatchy of everything. And I just didn't think it would be my cup of tea, but it really, really took me by surprise. Mm. And I've yet to see the first two.
First one's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know,
I actually don't think I've seen the second one, frankly.
Who's in the second
one? I don't remember his name. It's Robert something. He's in Trainspotting. And he was also in Once Upon a Time. He was Rumpelstiltskin.
Carlisle. Oh. Robert Carlisle.
That's it.
Oh my God, I love Robert Carlisle.
I'm pretty sure it's him. Again,
no way.
I could be lying.
Okay, I need to check both out.
I think
out.
It is him. Yeah. And it's the famous Teletubby thing that's memed quite a lot. Is there are kids watching Teletubbies and then there's all these people running into the house.
Is that one?
That's from 28 Weeks Later.
Okay.
Oh, it's a bit more disturbing than the first one.
Okay.
Which...
That's hard to do.
It's hard.
I was going to say, that's already quite
bad.
Right, okay. Do we want to do what we think is overrated, or are we okay to just move on?
I mean, mean, you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I do know what you're going to say. We could just do it. Nah, but not the original.
No, because I'm going to clarify then quickly, yeah. Right. If we're going to include this, is the Jurassic Park franchise, yeah. I think, is overrated. Because, I recently, for the first time ever, watched all of the Jurassic Park films. And the first one, I thought, was amazing.
I
don't think that's a hot take. No. I think that's pretty canonized in the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I went on...
Yeah. Second one you enjoy because Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, but other than that, that film is awful.
I'm sorry.
And no shade to Jeff. to the people in it.
No.
Terrible. Mm. So many bad... Jeff Goldblum in every single film is like, guys, this is a bad idea. And no one ever listens to him.
No, he's just like, oh, I told you.
Literally from the first one to like... How many are there? Nine? I don't know.
There's seven.
God.
Yeah. Because
we watched
the latest. And then we went to see the latest.
The Johnny Bailey.
Yeah. That was...
Gorgeous man.
And he played the clarinet in it. Yeah. I just thought it was such a cute fun fact. Awesome.
But I just don't think any of them are... Even when I started the second trilogy, the first one, I was like, oh, this is fine. And then the last 5 minutes ruined it for me.
The latest one has a fucking xenomorph in it.
Oh, yeah. Alien.
Yeah.
Like the alien from Alien.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It looks like that.
There you go.
Yeah, I just remember turning to you and I was like, they've put a xenomorph in here. Like, why is it there?
Jurassic Park 1, amazing, 10 out of 10. The other ones, I don't see why we've kept going.
Mm. Okay.
Fair enough. No, I get that.
No offence to people who love it.
Well, the thing is, agreed, but I'll always go watch them.
Yeah, I say that. Yeah. I watched all of them.
Yeah.
I could have stopped. There was no one, like, holding me hostage.
Okay, so before we move on to the rest of the episode, who's your first ever celebrity crush?
I just wanted to clarify, are we doing celebrity film crushes?
That's what I've done.
Okay.
Sure.
Do you want to go?
We have all listened at this point to the first episode and we know that I love Star Wars.
Oh, is it Anakin Skywalker?
Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, depends on the day. It might be Obi-Wan Kenobi, but it is Anakin
Hayden
Skywalker.
Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous.
A beautiful man.
No, I'm actually so mad at myself. I think I sent you like 30 messages about this. Mm. I walked past the man and I was I've always said to myself, if I walk past him, he's like the one person where I will actually stop and be like, you mean so much to me.
Yeah.
Like, these movies have meant so much to me growing up. And I froze and just stared him down like an idiot, not able to move. And my friend that I was with, Emmy, was just like, what's she doing? I was like, just couldn't function.
Could not function.
Yeah, saddest day of my life.
Oh, that's quite wholesome though.
I got starstruck.
I think I misunderstood
the question because...
Not another one.
I picked the freaking lion from Lion King 2.
Lion King 2? Is that Kovu?
Yeah.
I see, I love how
it's like the OG bad boy. Like, come on.
No, I see that.
I see that though. He's a celebrity in my eyes.
Yeah. Mine are a bit more... Although I've got... I put two down.
Yeah.
I put Dimitri from Anastasia.
Oh, yes.
Kind of a bad boy.
We love that.
The swoopy 90s hair.
Yeah, the curtains.
Then I put, and this kind of segues into our next segment, Christopher Plummer in The Sound of Music.
Who does he play?
Captain Von Trapp.
Oh, what? Oh my God, no way. Okay, yeah, I see it.
That man tearing up a Nazi flag. Like, wow.
Yes.
Anything that landed in that movie, I'm like, beautiful.
Yeah, I'm with you. I see that.
Yeah.
Well, building on that, what have we watched this week?
Well,
The Sound of Music.
We watched The Sound of Music.
Yeah,
I wasn't invited, guys.
You were.
I'm just kidding. I was busy.
60th anniversary, back on the big screen.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It was so wholesome as well. I want to see that in the cinema.
Yeah, it was stunning, and I hadn't seen it in like. Hands down, 5 years. I mean, you literally watched it like, what, 2 weeks before
that? It's one of my films. I always say I have two levels of, I've had the worst day of my life, I need to watch a film.
Yeah.
Oh.
Entry level is 13 going on 30, and that's like, she's not had a great day and she's fine. And then, like, DEFCON 5 Apocalypse is The Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
And we recently, unfortunately, had a really bad day, which I can't go into.
Do you want the tissues?
I got home. Yeah, get the violins out. That's Jurassic Park again.
I know.
I got home and watched The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
But I happily went. Mm. And it was really wholesome. The whole cinema was booked out.
Yeah. I did shed a few tears.
They did a little quiz beforehand.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Very cute.
Yeah.
And it was, I think they recolorized it or.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it.
Yeah. It looked very clean.
It looked lovely.
Because yeah. I haven't seen the film in a long time, but I have seen, I saw it at Chichester Festival Theatre recently. Aww. A few years ago, they did it there.
That's cute.
And it was just amazing. Yeah, it's just a amazing. Movie. It like it's carries aged, well on stage as well.
Say, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What else have I watched? I went to see The Conjuring.
The last one,
that's right, which is the end of the franchise.
Did it wrap it up quite nicely, or was it inconclusive?
No, it definitely wasn't inconclusive. I think it wrapped it up very nicely, but I am very intrigued by the way they wrapped it up, because I do think it's a big franchise, right? And it's so well-loved.
Spin-offs as well, like The Nun is a spin-off.
The Nun, Annabelle.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And I think they did, I love the Warrens. I love that franchise, and I'm a horror girly, so I like those movies, but so I don't know how much you've seen.
I think I've seen the first two.
I've only
seen The Nun.
Yeah. I've seen The Nun
because they kind of scare me.
Yeah, me too.
Well, they are terrifying, but I mean, I'm gonna try to not say any spoilers, but the last movie, Last Rites, centers around the Warrens and their daughter, and it's like them working a case together, and the daughters in a relationship, etc., that kind of carries throughout the movie. So I'm interested to see if this is actually the end of the franchise, or if it's actually just the end of the parents'
section
story.
On setting up the daughter.
And setting up the daughter, well, and the new partner of the daughter to take over the franchise. But I don't think that's what they planned. But given the tone that the movie ended on, I wouldn't be surprised if in 5 years from now...
They pick it up again.
That gets picked up.
Yeah.
Which I think the way that they've done it is quite smart, because it really wraps the entire franchise up beautifully.
Yeah.
Well, like, of course, there's bits and bobs that, like, it's not the perfect movie, but I liked it.
That's
fine. I really liked it, and I think it was a good ending as well.
Yeah,
I just love that we're in a world where there's the Conjuring cinematic universe.
I know.
Love it.
Like, I just think that's kind of camp. Go off.
Exactly. And it's, I don't know, but I'm intrigued to see what's, if there's anything next for it.
Maybe they've just left the door open. So
I think that's what they did. I think the way that they wrapped it up was they left the door open with it, and they can always go back to
it. Open-ended.
Yeah, and I think also, like, the way that the story was written and the characters were portrayed, people would go see it.
I think they have such a huge
fan base
fan
for that.
Following. Even if it was new people, I think they'd get people coming
people
to see it.
Go see it, And speaking of end of franchises, we went to see The Last Downton Abbey.
We were the only two people in the whole cinema.
It
was actually quite wholesome.
I enjoyed it.
Had a little snack.
It was, I've been processing it, and I think I loved it because it's Downton Abbey and it holds a lot of nostalgia for me.
Right.
But the stakes in it were very low, and it was just very mellow.
I mean, not to throw shade, but are there ever high stakes in Downton Abbey?
Yes, yes.
Wow, there is. Yeah, but no, I agree. I mean,
did they nearly lose the house again?
Oh,
okay. Maybe. I mean, no shade.
It was a nice time.
It was, and the music, come on, like the music, and Julian Fellowes can do no wrong. Like the script was good. Like the script, I was, you know, I was engrossed, I was there, I was present, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And also at the end, they basically do this montage.
I've seen
their respects to.
It was Maggie Smith.
Yes. Yeah.
Second sheet came
the queen. Yes, and they saved her to the end, because obviously with Sybil and Matthew, it's so sad because we love the characters, but also with Maggie, it holds a different weight because obviously we lost Maggie Smith. So it's like, it was that just got me. I was like, for God's sake. Yeah. And they zoomed in on her, like a big painting of her, and they commemorated the whole film to her.
To be fair, that would get me, and I have zero interest
attachment to Downton Abbey.
Again, no shade.
Yeah.
I just remember that rough. Do you know about the UK book, like Christmas Day viewing, where it was Merlin where there was the last episode of Merlin where Arthur died, and then for the adults, Matthew was killed off.
Matthew on the same day.
The same Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I did not know
and
that.
It was like, are you trying to ruin everything?
Every generation was like,
gone. What are we doing?
I know. Why did they do that to us?
Honestly, traumatized from that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I got through it.
But I do want to say that reminded me of, I don't know, because I haven't watched too many films this week because I've been more focused on shows.
Mm.
Because in the last couple of weeks, we were looking at Some I Turn Pretty.
Mm.
That just wrapped up.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And going hand in hand with Downton Abbey, they're making a movie.
I was going to say, yeah, they've announced a film.
They've announced a film. So there's a trend somehow of like shows, you know, going into
films afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's kind of, it's always been a really interesting thing with that, where you see TV shows that potentially either didn't get wrapped up as neatly or years later they've decided to then do a film. Because one of my favourite TV shows, which I discovered way after it was over, is called Deadwood.
I was just thinking you were going to say that.
I was like, is it the Tom
That was already a film. No, but Deadwood, which was famously cancelled, and then years later to wrap it up, they got given a film. So it's quite interesting that Summer I Turned Pretty is doing that, considering they announced it literally as the episode.
It was on the same day the last episode.
Also because I do think I didn't watch... I watched all of the episodes. I did watch the final, but I didn't watch the episode in between.
Mm.
Don't ask me why, I don't know. But I do think they wrapped it up pretty well.
Yeah, I'm kind of like,
yeah.
Is it just going to like be a happy days?
You read the books, is what I'll say.
No.
I think we'll see what happens in the books.
It has a different ending to the book ending. Because I watched the first series of Summer I Turned Pretty, got annoyed, read all the books, because I was like, I need to know how this ends. And then, found out how it ended.
Mm.
I skipped series two.
Yeah, I just went straight to series three.
Because I don't like one of the characters. And only clocked back in once he was out of the picture.
Okay.
But it does have a different ending to the book.
Oh, interesting. So I wonder if they will go to the original book ending, or have they gone too far off of it?
They do a time, it makes sense. I don't want to say anything specifically in case this spoils things for people, but
I also think once this comes out, so far beyond the Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I mean, no, don't spoil it.
No, the book ends with an event.
An event. Okay.
An event that happens that people...
I've actually never read it.
Like a reunion, there are people there.
I was going to say, I never read it, but I opened my TikTok the other day. In the first two sentences, someone said, this is the ending of the book. And I was like, okay.
So you're on such a different side of TikTok. I'm on like...
Yeah, you're on... I was going to say...
Mr. Fantasy Rapture TikTok.
Oh, Mr. Fantasy.
I was going to say, bringing it up again, I sent you that TikTok today. You did like...
Chipotle.
Died of laughter.
It was so good.
I'd love to have him on the pod.
Yeah, should we get Mr. Fantasy on?
What's your favourite movie
Mr. Fantasy.
Tell us. What else? Oh, I mean, speaking of shows, I know that's not movie related, but I did just watch the first three episodes of Gen V.
Oh yeah,
loved it. I mean, I just love that universe, the boys' universe, right? Mm-hmm. Eric Kripke, and I'm so excited and terrified for season 5 of The Boys, and my heart is full because he's bringing back all of the Cartwell. The main three from Supernatural.
Yeah.
For a little reunion, and I'm terrified that he's going to blow them up the second they end.
Oh,
the...
Misha Collins is going to die.
No, I don't want it. They're
going to kill him off.
I can't see that.
Have you watched Supernatural?
No.
Oh.
No.
See, I'm in the middle of rewatching it at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, I have been for like 3 months now.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just so many seasons.
Yeah, I think that's what intimidates me to ever pick it up.
There's like
15.
I was going to say.
Yeah, and what I usually do is I do season 1 to 3, and then I take a break, and then I do 5 to 7, and then I take a break, and then I just sporadically watch a few episodes of the rest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was that its peak, do you think?
Is
it like Grey's, where it's like 1 to 8?
Oh, kind of. I mean, if I rewatch Supernatural, I only start from the series that Misha Collins' character comes in.
Okay.
Yeah. No shade to the other seasons.
No, they're good. The first three are really good as well. I mean, they're just like, it was the 20th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
A few weeks back.
Of Supernatural. Yeah, because it was around Vampire Diaries time, wasn't it? Or was it before?
Before
it was
even.
Early to... 2000s.
Well, it was 2005 because it just had its
mid-2000s.
Yeah. I think Vampire Diaries was 2008 because I remember like that they were like pretty simultaneous. Mm. And like, you were kind of like one or the other because you couldn't really keep up with all of it.
Was Pretty Little Liars around the same time?
Yeah, that was like 2010, I think.
I always used to watch it with my mom, but yeah. I don't think we ever watched the last season. Like, I know what happens,
yeah,
but I got told what happens and then I was so confused that I was just like, I'm not watching that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What else have you watched?
I went to surprise the Prince Charles.
The Prince Charles.
And I've had this ticket booked with a friend of ours. Mm. We've had this booked for like 4 months in advance. And they do, every now and then, what I love about this cinema is they do little seasons of either directors or a theme or whatever.
Yeah, they
and
did, this like, was everything David Lynch.
Yeah, so we went to the viewing of Le Bonheur because it was Agnès Varda's season. Yeah. And she's a French director. Absolutely love her. There's a really good documentary with her and a favourite artist of mine called JR called, I think it's called Faces Places. Mm. I might have completely butchered that. It's a really good documentary though. Mm-hmm. And Le Bonheur is amazing. Mm. It is a horror film, but in a way that it's not like The Shining or The Conjuring. It's a horror film because you're like, this could really happen.
Oh, God, that's worse.
No, because it's about an affair and it's just, I had to keep reminding myself this is a female director. Mm. So the depiction of this relationship and the things he's saying.
Through a female lens.
I have to remember that this is a woman doing this because even the audience, it's one of those ones, which is why I love going to the cinema, is you get the like verbal, like, oh my God.
And like,
they're
live.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
you
know.
Yeah.
And literally the credits rolled and me and our friend like turned to each other and I just went, I actually feel sick.
No way.
No, I was like, texting me often. You were like, you need to see that.
I was like, you have to watch this. But
what do you mean? Because it feels like it could happen in real life.
Yeah, it's it definitely has. Yeah. Like the way this affair plays out and how it affects the people, it's so brilliantly done because it's so subtle.
Yeah.
And just the things he says, like at one point he literally says to his wife, it's like I have 10 arms that are holding you and embracing you, but now I've suddenly grown 2 other arms that are holding her.
Oh, go away.
And it's just like,
why is he an octopus? What the hell?
Well, he's trying to explain his like emotional and like physical affair with this other woman, and you're just like,
scary the way they gaslight, isn't it?
Honestly. That's the thing.
And you're like, oh, ring some bells.
That's why I call it, I'm like, this is a horror film.
Yeah.
Because you're literally just watching this happen and you're like, this happens. Yeah. This happens to people.
And people believe it too and take them back. That's scary.
Say, that's the horror part of it.
Exactly.
Is the fact that you do know that people are so successful with that manipulation.
But also like watching it from not being in the relationship but watching it from outside, you can kind of see it unfold, but you can also see like potentially their naivety or their believing it, and you're just like, no, don't. Like, I know what it's like, but just look. Yeah.
You have to watch it because I don't want to say it. But it's just also beautifully done in terms of how the aesthetic of it, the way it's been coloured, even the subtleties of the costuming and the set, how it changes as the film goes out is so poignant and just, it just really amplifies the fact that when you finish, you're like, I feel sick. Like,
okay,
this.
Okay, yeah.
I literally couldn't stop thinking about that. I was sat on the tube, like, spiralling. I was like,
I need to watch that.
Yeah, would recommend.
So, what are some things that we're looking forward to seeing? I know Kit and I were going to do a long walk on Sunday.
We are. Kind of nervous.
Terrified. So it's Stephen King.
Yes.
They're just terrifying as is. Sorry. Like,
Love
the man, but sick and twisted.
I know.
He wrote this book as an answer, I think, to the Vietnam War, seeing people around him being drafted. I've read the book.
Oh, have you?
I've read the book.
Okay.
Just because I was quite, I knew it was coming out, and I was like, oh, it's not too thick of a book, so I'll read it. And I know that they've changed. I'm not going to say anything about it because especially I don't think you know.
No, I don't. I know the basic concept.
Yeah. But it's basically about, well, apparently they've changed some of the like key details, but like the basic structure of it is right, this group of 50 guys that signs up to do the long walk, and it's whoever wins is the only one surviving, so you are not allowed to go under, I think in the movie it is 3 miles an hour, and you're just walking.
Yeah, it's like a competition.
Yeah, it's
that
like basically
you enter,
the Hunger Games, but like,
and you have to keep walking, and it's like you get a pen, you can't stop.
Yeah.
And if you stop, you get a warning, and if you stop for a certain amount of times, and if you stop, they like execute you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see
like Squid Games, like level
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah.
Well, which is why I think like the director they got to do this, Francis Lawrence.
Yeah.
He's the perfect director.
He is.
Do something like that. He's done
Hunger Games.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he is the king of tension building.
Yeah, and competitions.
Dystopian competitions.
Yeah.
What a niche.
Survivor, yeah.
I'm really intrigued to see it because I know that they've changed a major event at the end.
Oh.
And I know why they did it, and I think it makes sense that they did it, but I'm really intrigued to see it play out differently than I thought it would have. Like, knowing the book and knowing the story of it. And it's quite a horrific book, frankly.
Yeah,
like,
it's grim.
I mean, Stephen King can write, and we all know that. But it was honestly, it was like that and the book of Under the Skin, the Michael Faber one, you know, that 2013
yes,
Scarlett
with
this,
yes.
Movie. Those are two of the books where I genuinely had to put them. It was like this shortly before putting it in the freezer, like Joey does in Friends with the Shining.
I'm
I was like,
scared.
I will keep those in the freezer. Like, this is so much.
Yeah.
No, but I'm really intrigued to see that.
I love the cast.
Oh,
Cooper Hoffman from Licorice Pizza.
Yeah.
It's a weird film, but the acting's in it is great.
Great.
Mm. And then also, David I realised the young boy from Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, oh my, what, is this his first film since Jojo Rabbit?
No, he's done a couple other things, but I saw a picture of him and I was like, oh my god.
He's grown up.
He's taller.
Yeah.
Also, Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
Mark
no
Hamill.
Way.
Love him.
Yeah. I'm like, again, Star
King.
Wars. Sorry.
Star Wars.
Sorry.
But also,
I love everything he touches now. He is amazing. Mm. Yeah. Life of Chuck, he's in as well.
I was going to say, let's talk then. There's a lot of Stephen King out at the moment because Life of Chuck has just come out. I know Mike Flanagan has been commissioned to do a Carrie TV series, which is, I think.
What?
I think it's in production right now.
Yeah, and then Rat, which is a novella of Stephen King's, apparently has been optioned / is in script development status.
I can't believe they're redoing Carrie already.
Yeah. Well, and the Rat one. The Rat one. They have looked at, what's it called? Producer Jay Von Hoy, I think is his name, who did, sorry if I've butchered that, but he did The Witch, Robert Eggers.
Oh,
and The Lighthouse,
yes.
Like, on the production team for those.
Very cool.
Right, and then they've also gotten a writer who's done two episodes on Haunting of Hill House. Right?
Okay, so they're going to nail it, basically.
They've got the creepy people in, and I love that.
I have no idea what Rat is about.
Rat is about.
Right? And I haven't read up on it.
I hope it's not like, there's that.
If it's about a rat, I don't know if I feel
like Yeah, because rats
really
it me out.
There's a really horrible horror book called The Rats, I think.
Yeah, I've
that
seen
is disgusting.
That.
Yeah, okay.
I hope it's nothing like that, because that one is kind of traumatizing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm quite looking forward to clearing my brain and going to the cinema again, because I need to give this film a bad shout out because it really disappointed me really quickly.
What is this?
I saw Anyone But You, Sydney Sweeney, Glenn. And the thing is, right?
The retelling of.
Yeah, Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
I have to get this off
Glenn
my chest.
Yes.
Because.
Netflix, right?
It's just gone on Netflix.
Seen that.
Oh my gosh. And I'm so happy I didn't waste my money and go to a cinema and see it because I love Glenn in Twisters. I love Sydney for it. I know they can both act. How can you adapt a Shakespeare story and the writing be bad? The writing was bad. They had more chemistry in interviews than they had on screen.
Really?
It wasn't funny. It landed so flat for me. And I was just like, that was a tough watch for me. And so I need to refresh my brain and see something good.
I'm not a rom-com girl, so you won't see me watch that. I like the old rom-com.
If you want a good Shakespeare rom-com, just stick with 10 Things I Hate About You. Stick with
She's the Man.
She's the Man.
She's the Man. I'm
one
sorry,
of
She's
my
the Man.
Faves.
Yep.
It's incredible.
It's my flatmate's fave.
Yeah, it's one of mine.
I love that film.
Yeah, it's really good. What else am I looking forward to? Frankenstein coming out in November.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know why I'm really excited about this? It's because I feel like public pressure has got it an extended cinema release.
Which I'm honestly grateful for.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be so hard to find a screening that we can fit into our schedule.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's really exciting because initially it was only intended for Netflix.
Yeah, which I really do hate when they do that. I think it makes sense for some things, of course, but like a movie as big as that one.
Yeah, it's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, and like I want to see that on a big screen. Mm-hmm. It's made for the big screen.
Yeah.
And also, I'm so intrigued. He's recently done a few interviews saying that this is going to like wrap up this era of film that he's been doing and that he wants to like dip his toe into other material.
What does that mean?
Are we getting a rom-com?
Yeah. I would
love that. Are we getting a full-blown horror?
He's already done a rom-com. It's called The Shape of Water.
Oh. I did really enjoy that.
I'm not funny.
I have seen this one.
I didn't see it until like 2 years after that Oscar season. Because I was always so sorry, weirded out by it. I was like, why is this lady falling in love with this fish man?
Not the fish man.
I watched it and I actually was so emotionally invested.
Yeah. Have you watched Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yeah.
No.
So I watched that with my flatmates way back when I lived in Edinburgh. And we just thought it was camp as hell.
Yeah.
I was like, this is incredible. And then I watched The Shape of Water and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Because there's also a short story, I think it's called Mrs. Caliban, which I don't know if it inspired...
What? Tempest?
No. It's, I mean, I guess kind of maybe that's what inspired the name, but it is basically there's an escaped fish man and this like 50s housewife hides him in the house and they fall in love. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that inspired Shape of Water.
You know what this reminds me of? If anybody wants a book recommendation for something related to fish man, fish women.
Julia Arm?
Nah. I mean, Julia Armfield. Oh, yeah.
Under the sea. I was just
really into it. But I was thinking of Eliza Clarke, She's Always Hungry. As the title story, She's Always Hungry. Like the short story, I think that's what it's called, right? The fish one?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. So weird. And so many people hated it. But I think like it was the one that people were like weirded out the most.
Yeah.
But I've actually loved
It always made me think of the Harry Styles music video for Adore You, where he's just sat singing to a fish in a tank.
It was that in The Shape of Water, having a baby.
Genre of people falling in love with fish.
Exactly, like what's happening here. It's like Eliza Clarke, you've done it again.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I saw the trailer for this with Luelle, and she saw me. I immediately burst into tears.
Oh, Wicked for Good.
Was Wicked Part 2.
I know. I know.
It was followed up by Super Mario Galaxy.
Was it?
I think so.
I don't think it was.
Am I making that up?
I think you might have made that up.
But
maybe my eyes were still, you know, blurry from the tears.
I wonder if you can book tickets already like you could with Odyssey.
I'm already on that.
Okay. You'll be requesting it off. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that film. I mean, I haven't seen it.
For the second one.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It is weird, though. I noticed this morning, actually, they're posting a lot more spoiler content for this one. I mean, I know the show's been out for years, but there's a lot of people that there's some surprises if you don't know what's coming on.
Yeah.
And, like, a couple of the actors have already posted stuff that I saw this morning and thought, God, that's quite strong spoiler for people if they don't know what happens.
Maybe they've, like...
Maybe they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I was just thinking. They've got two original songs in, so maybe they've changed it to the point where they're like, oh, you can have the stories of the original because we've actually put our own spin on it, and that's going to be what is
that
the surprise.
Scares me a little bit. I mean, I'm still terrifying. I'm like but yeah, I'm excited about
I'm excited to watch one battle after another.
Yeah, you've seen that one.
I'm kind of going into it blind on Wednesday.
Paul Thomas Anderson one.
Yeah. Cool. I looked at his work and I don't think I've seen any film he's directed before, so I'm quite looking forward to
watching it.
Yeah.
It's already getting quite a lot of like good critic buzz.
Yeah.
I saw there were a lot of I saw online actually a lot of people being like, I'm gonna go watch this film, if you guys were wrong I'm gonna be really mad. And then it's like the follow-up message being like, okay, you are right. Like it's a lot of those kind of posts, which is quite good way to conjure up like, you know,
excitement
going to see it. So I don't know how genuine that is.
I've also seen a lot of buzz around The Smashing Machine,
the rock
Emily Blunt.
Dwayne.
Apparently like it's like his performance well, of a it's lifetime.
Benny Safdie, I think, who the Safdie brothers, quite big in the independent film world. I think they've kind
of. I think we're going to have a good year for the Oscars for independent.
I can't wait.
It's going to be very diverse film wise, which I think is really fun. Sinners should be nominated.
Yeah, I think it will be. It has to be. It has to be, surely. Yeah.
At least for music.
Oh, that that sequence in the middle.
I love Wicked, but Sinners needs to.
The folk, yeah.
At very least, music.
It's got everything in there.
Wow. The cinematography, I thought, was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, costume.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The writing was amazing.
It was just chef's kiss. I saw it with you, didn't I?
Yeah.
We were just like...
I wonder, because they've kind of just announced for Halloween, they're doing another, IMAX release of it. Wonder if that's like beginning, it's already started, Oscars campaigning, it's already beginning.
That's very clever of them to do that, to like remind everyone.
I know. Just like, you know this film that came out?
Nominate us.
Hello?
I
reminder that was amazing. Oh, I loved that film.
Yeah.
But I think for now, that's all that I have for this week.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean... I don't think there's anything.
Nothing else big. I mean, I want to see the. I forgot the title of it. The Emma Stone one, where she gets kidnapped by this cult who thinks that she's an alien or something.
Yes, right? It's the. Is it Yorgos Lanthimos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. I'm really intrigued by that one because I watched the trailer of that and I was like, "What is happening?"
It's, and also, I think, is it Jesse Plemons?
Willem Dafoe is back as well.
Willem Dafoe!
I know.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Werewolf recently went into...
Aaron Taylor... Have you seen his transformation?
No.
He's got the same hair as me now. Like, the long curls. I mean, it's up to date, but normally I've got the...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see him in Lily Rose.
I wonder what angle they're going... Because it's Robert Eggers again.
We love. And adore.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, there's a couple things.
I'm so excited to see that.
Going to be fierce competition at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Well, never mind, ignore me. I was going to say Nosferatu, but that was last year.
Yeah, that's where it's been gone.
See, I'm still sad that we didn't get a clip of Nosferatu carrying around his...
His coffin.
His coffin.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not going to see that.
Do you know what I think is confusing for us, though? Is because in the UK, we get films a little bit later than the US.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think Nosferatu, we did actually watch that this year.
Yeah.
Mm.
But
of course we did, yeah.
It was already
out and about. Yeah.
So it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is why we're like, oh, for Oscars? And it's like, no.
It actually has one.
Had a different international release date. Yeah, I think it was nominated for costume.
Oh, well. Yeah, but that's all from me today.
And me.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to
add. And you.
We're done, guys.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.